25 years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of the brotherhood of man, or whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed to do, getting all out what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. Into a wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say,
well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Awakening to Spirit Show. I am your host, Regina. You can find me at Lady Dragon Psychic Medium and Reiki Healer on Facebook. You can email me at LadyDragonPsychicMedium.com or check out my website at www.LadyDragon.com. And tonight we have Elena Chapman with us again. She is an international best-selling author, mentor, and speaker. And she has been involved with the study of self-improvement and development for over two decades. Her focus has been on teaching others the tools that they need to unleash the power within and to break free from beliefs that may hold them back from gaining the life that they deserve. Elena, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so glad to have you back. I remember the last time we were talking, I think towards the end, we were talking about some meditations. And I just realized I haven't had the chance to kind of practice what I said I was going to do, was, you know, the guided meditations. I could never do them.
Well, I will have to send them to you. I will send some to you so you can.
Well, that would be good. Definitely. Every time I've tried to do guided meditations, it's never worked for me. I don't know. It's either the person's voice or I don't know. I just couldn't do them. So I was going to practice going into a meditative state first and then listening to the guided meditation, but I didn't get to it, do it.
Well, sometime when we're not on here, I'll tell you what, you or even, I don't know, I could do when I'm here, but it, just call me and I will do a guided meditation with you, if you like. Because
it would sometimes be fun.
The voice. Yeah, and I try to really blend my voice into the meditation so that I am not an interruption. And I do know that because the voice can interrupt the journey and you concentrate more on the voice than what you're doing. So, yes, I understand that.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I think that's what my issue was. I always concentrated, okay, I got to do what they're saying and not really kind of just letting go and just enjoying the journey, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like life, enjoying the journey of life.
You know,
but
that
anyway,
is so
yes.
true, Lena, because you got to do that. You've got to... It's a lesson I've been learning of late, is just letting back and enjoy what's coming, good, bad, the ugly, indifferent, whatever, you know.
The journey is the adventure. I mean, we tend to want to go from crisis to crisis to crisis. I see so many people do that. And, you know, I have to tell you, I see my life, I see myself on a boat. And I see that boat is my life, and I'm on this beautiful, you know, just going out to the full sea. But I can stop. You know, there's a crisis on this shore. There's a problem over. And I have to decide, this is how I see my life, truly. I decide whether I want to enter that crisis and how quickly I want to take care of whatever that obstacle is and then get back onto my beautiful water to the where I want to go. And it helps me enjoy the journey. I know that these obstacles, I don't find myself going from obstacle to obstacle. Instead, my goal is to have a smooth sailing and enjoy it. But when an obstacle comes, it's not a tragedy. It's not a crisis. It's just something I have to visit that little port, get out of there, and go back on the sea.
You know,
that's true.
That's a good way to put it, too, because, you know, a lot of times, I know people aren't going to agree with me here, but a lot of times the crises that come our way really are our choice, so to speak. You know, we're choosing to get involved with that. We're choosing to either make it a crisis, or we're choosing to stay in that crisis as opposed to, you know, learning the lesson, getting out and moving forward so that when the crisis that you don't have control over comes your way, you know what to do. You can say, okay, I have to face this. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this, and we're going to move on.
And by saying we're going to do this and that we're going to do this, you are taking control versus saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is hitting me and this is hitting me and this is hitting me, and not taking the action to say, okay, this is how I'm going to handle it for the best reason to get through this or to help others or to help myself and move forward from it. And as long as we stay in that victim role, we're giving away the power to whatever it is that's hitting us, any circumstance. So learning to be proactive. Yeah, proactive, and really keeping your eye on the, what do I want to say, the higher road, and looking to where you want to be and how you want to get there versus giving up, and it changes everything. It really does. It changes your life. You feel much more in control. You're happier. You're more at peace. It empowers you. You're honoring yourself, which is very important. Honoring yourself, you're honoring whoever you love to get through that. It's very important. It's very important to take those proactive steps.
So how would you recommend one to get, the one that's been trapped in this is my life, there's nothing I can do about it, everything is against me. What would be like the first step for them to take in order to overcome that?
Yes. And a lot of times we do feel that. I'd say, you know, there's a lot of first steps. But the first one I always say that's very, very important is to start your gratitudes. There's an exercise you can do with gratitudes. And I think I've used this before, but it is something I always say because there is always something to be grateful for. And this little exercise is where you write 10 gratitudes every morning and every night, things that you're really happy about. And don't forget to write things about yourself, things that you're happy about yourself. So often when we're in a crisis, we're not taking care of ourselves. When we're in, I call it our prison. We don't take care of ourselves. We're too preoccupied with what's happening to us. So make sure you include yourself in those gratitudes and really feel them. You know, if I say, "Oh, I'm so happy for my dogs and cats," then I just feel the joy when I come home and they're all over the place and they're just so happy to see me. And that raises my vibration. And it also shows me to take the good from my life to move forward, not the bad. And then after that, sit very quietly and ask for spirit just to receive. You want to receive from spirit. And then send love to 3 people that are bothering you. And if you do that practice every morning, that's one really good way to start moving forward in goodness and seeing more opportunity than just staying in that vicious cycle. Also, you can feel like a victim in this. I lived in my own prison, I know. And it wasn't until I said, enough is enough. I ended up on the side of a country road. I was so unhappy. And I looked up at the universe. It was a gorgeous day, and I looked up at the universe and I just said, I want my happy life back. I want to be happy. You know what? With that, I tell you, the next day, the universe was bringing me things, teachers, mentors, books, you know, everything. I opened my eyes to everything that could help me become happy and learn how to become happy. And it just takes taking that first step to say enough is enough and taking the steps that present themselves, really acting on them to get yourself out of that prison. It really does. So it's taking responsibility and doing the gratitude. Those are the two things I would say just start to do.
That is definitely something that I would say really works. It's definitely hard to do, and I can tell you my aha moment in that. You can write things that you're grateful for. You really can. But
yeah,
are you just going through the motions, or are you truly grateful? It wasn't until February of this year, we got hit with some snowstorms, you know, that, man. And, of course, my son moved out, so I'm stuck with shoveling, and I hate it. I hate shoveling. I hate it.
I am,
so I'm out there going, you know, looking at my neighbors who have snow blowers, and I stopped and I went, well, what the heck? You know what? I'm out here. It's a beautiful day. It might be cold, but it's beautiful. And I'm getting exercise.
Yeah.
I am very grateful. Yeah. And it wasn't until I realized that, you know what? Hey, I really am. I may hate what I'm doing, but I'm grateful for the chance of being able to do it.
Exactly.
You know, and it was from then on that I started looking at things different. I stopped seeing... How do I want to put it? I stopped seeing the negative. I stopped seeing
the woe was me
part of things.
Yeah, the victim thing.
And started,
right.
Yeah, and started seeing like what you talked about. Like, you know, this is what's coming. This is what's got to be done. I'm going to go through it.
Yes. Yes. I actually had the privilege of having coffee with this wonderful lady one time. And she said, I wake up every morning grateful that I can get out and enjoy the sunshine, that I can walk outside and breathe on my face. And she says, and every morning that I get to do that. And that's what starts her day. And so what do you think that day is going to bring? It's going to bring more beauty, more happiness, because you're on that vibration. But if she got up thinking, oh, I got to do this again, or I've got to get outside and walk again, or whatever, you know, turning it into the negative, then that's the vibration you're on. People don't seem to realize that. And really, when you're on that vibration, that's all you see is the negative. And when you're on that good vibration, that's what you get more of, that good vibration. And it's really that simple. It really is that simple. It's the law of attraction. It's the law of vibration. It really is. And it's just opening your eyes to the opportunities that you can't see when you're in that negative, woe is me. And that takes so much energy to stay there. It really does. And it's amazing. It's so much easier to enjoy. And I know there are some circumstances that people feel they're in that they can't do that. But there's no circumstance that is so bad that once you start raising and changing your perception that you can't get out of. There really isn't. But it is changing your perception. It is changing your idea of you and your world. And that's what it takes. It really is something. But then you can break free. You really can. And it's
and
powerful.
So
and I'll tell you, there's nothing better. I'm sorry?
I said that's so true. I mean, it's all of... And I find myself, you know, I find myself, too, throughout the day, you're thinking of things and, you know, oh, I wish I didn't have to do that. If you just change oh, I wish to, it really makes the task at hand so much easier.
It does. And if you have to do a task, you know, Saturdays, I used to be, like, I'm a mom of three boys. And I'll tell you, Saturdays, I felt like a cab driver. I was in that car from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 at night, you know, and it's very daunting. I started thinking, oh, my gosh, it's Saturday. Even me, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's Saturday. And I remember one Saturday, we were sitting in the car, and it was just, everybody seemed to have so much to do, and I'm going from one place to another, picking up, dropping off, picking up, dropping off. And then one of my sons gets in the car and says, okay, Mom, I also have to go here. And I said, you're kidding me, because he's adding something to the schedule that's already packed. And I just thought to myself, ooh, you're getting in a really not good mood, and this is not fun. And I'm not one that will do it if it's not fun. I'll tell you, that's just me. So I thought, okay, what can we do that'll make this fun? And I said, okay, we're going to, this is not a plug for Starbucks. I'm just telling you, that's where I went. So I said, okay, we're going to stop at Starbucks. And my son said, but we don't have time. I said, we're making time. And I got out of the car. I didn't go through the drive-thru. Nope. I needed a break. So I went into the store. I ordered my favorite drink, not my second favorite, my favorite. And then I talked to everybody. I felt the music. I let myself just kind of let go a little, you know, just loosen up. And then I came back in the car. I said, okay, we're going to turn on my music, which is the 70s.
And oh, I love those, yeah.
And then, oh, me too. And I started to just sing and dance, and I got my son dancing. It changed the whole mood, and I was having fun with him. You, whatever it is that you have to do or that you dread, make it fun. You put it on your condition that makes it fun. Find something that you can do to add fun to it. It changes everything, and it makes it more fun for you and the people involved, which is really cool. Much better than complaining. Much better. Changes the whole mood. You know, and in my book, I talk about that kind of thing. You know, how to change your perception. And it's very important. As you change the perception of yourself and honor yourself, you know, it's like Maya Angelou, she said, you know, there is a place within you that no one should ever trod. And to me, that is your essence. That's your spirit. And every time you make something you don't want to do fun, and every time you say, well, this circumstance, I'm going to change. I'm going to take the power within myself, whatever I can do to change it, I'm going to change it. By taking that on, you're honoring yourself. You're honoring that essence, that spirit inside you. You're bringing it more alive.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what it takes to empower yourself, to feel in control, to want better. You're starting to waken up the spirit inside yourself. And that's big. That's very big. So it just depends on how you want to live. You know, I think it's much more fun to feel that spirit inside it and to feel like I have control in my life and to feel that that journey, just that it's a fabulous, wonderful journey. So it's quite a different perception, but it's one that's easily gained. That's what I teach. That's in my book. And I even have a course that I say, Living with Essence, that I teach, that teaches people how to wake up to that wonderful spirit inside you. And it's very cool.
Good.
Very cool. Yeah, it's
so
very
how can,
cool.
How can people get the book if they're interested? Where would they be able to find it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's called The Prison Effect, and it's how you're blocking your own happiness. Surprise, surprise. What else would I talk about, right? And your own success and how to discover ways to bring it forward. But that you can get it. My name, Elaina Chapman Life, LIFE, because it's all about life.com. And on there, that's my website. If you click, that's the easiest way to find it. Press on The Prison Effect, that book. And it'll take you right where you can purchase it. And it's not expensive, but it's a very, you'll start to understand things. And if you get the book, my gosh, leave me comments and questions, because if you have questions about the book, I'm always happy to answer, because that's what I do, you know? I want to help people really reach their fullest potential, you know? That's what I do. So, yeah, thank you for asking.
Well, I love books, so I'm always reading books. And the last couple books I've gotten, it's kind of surprising, because I've actually have a little mini notepad and I take notes, and then I'll go back to
good
it
for
and
you.
Read it again and say, oh, okay, I see there. Oh, okay. Or sometimes
yeah.
I wish,
yeah.
like you were just saying, that I wish I could get to the author and say, well, what did you mean by this? Because I'm thinking that, but it doesn't fit the next part of what you were talking about. So that's really
yes.
nice to hear that you allow your readers to kind of ask questions, too. That's really good. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
But
because it,
you know,
some of the stuff might be new.
Yeah. It really is. And so many people are left up to either figuring it out by themselves, or they think,
yeah,
this is my take. It's like, you know, in the journeys that I follow, I'm really the only one in my town that does what I do. You know,
uh-huh.
So I don't have a band of people that I can get to, you know, talk with, you know, Sunday afternoons for coffee. Say, hey, this is what
right.
I'm experiencing. What do you think? You know,
right.
So I find it that the books, like you were suggesting, like your book and some of the other books, have really been beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not
yeah,
an,
books, yeah. Go
it's
ahead.
Not an easy thing to do every day either, to, you know, especially if you've been stuck in that, I got to go to work. I got to drive.
Yeah. You know, I know. It takes discipline, but it's the best thing in the world. You know, I get up, the first thing I do are gratitude. And then I try to wake up before my kids. And during the year when they have school and stuff, I'll tell you, we're getting up so early. And for me to be able to do what I want to do, I have to get up like at 5:30, which some of you early morning people are thinking, oh, that's nothing. Well, for this night owl, it's horrible. But I do it, and I do my gratitude, and then I always have a book that I am reading. I start with a spiritual book that I will open. Right now I'm on Troward, and I open it to a page, and then I just read a page or a paragraph, and then I study it. And I close my eyes, and I just allow the message to sink in and allow spirit. And that sets up my day. It sets up my intention. It sets up where I'm going. I'm already on a good vibration, but it solidifies I want to be that day. And it sets that intention for the day for me. It's very important. And when you get used to that and you don't do it, you feel sort of weird. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like
yeah.
The day is kind of like, well, wait a minute. I didn't get my intention in there. I didn't get my... my focus. It really focuses in your day. Once you get that practice, it's like you want it. You always want it. So 5:30 it is.
And I would say that, you know, that's so true. And case in point for me is I absolutely hate driving. I don't like driving. I don't want to drive.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I don't. I hate it.
But
really? The job that
I do,
it's not something I enjoy doing at all, ever.
We're quite a pair then, because me, I think it's a great combination of thinking and moving.
Well, see, you know, so, but the job that I had was here in town, so it was just like, you know, not a big deal to hop in the car and drive for the mile to get to work or take the bike.
Yeah.
Well, I now
yeah.
have a job that I have to drive 28 miles to get to.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh,
yeah.
good Lord, how am I going to do this? Oh, my Lord. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Well, that sets up the stressor for the day. And so I started looking at it. And as I went down my road, whether it was raining or still completely dark out, I started saying, you know, thank you, God, for this trip that I get to take every morning.
Awesome.
You know, thank you for showing me, you know, what's going on. And by gosh, you know, I go down the interstate going, oh, my gosh, this is so pretty. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Oh, my gosh, look at this. And I look forward, you know, even though I don't like driving, I look forward to it. And it's like, that's my time now to sit and kind of set up my day again and just be grateful, you know, and say my prayers for the day.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and that is something right there, saying your prayers for the day. People don't know how to pray. We always come from a state of need. That's like saying to God and the universe, I love this feeling of need.
Yeah.
You know? But when you come from a higher vibration, you know, that's telling God, thank you so much. I love this. And this is what I need more of. Bring me more. And it's a much better place to yes, you are. You're praying. You're setting your intention. It's fantastic. And what a beautiful example. That is a perfect example of making something that you don't want to do, something fun and even special for yourself. That, Regina, I love that. I love that story. That's fantastic.
You know, come winter, it'll be put to the test again, because then you've got the icy roads and stuff. But,
You
know, it's still peaceful. It's still going to be the quiet, you know. But I was so blessed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Elena, you know, along the interstate, you wouldn't think you'd be able to see any of these things. But there were deer standing there in the field, and I saw these two Canadian geese at a certain point that I would reach on the interstate. They would fly over my car every day for 3 weeks. Every day.
Wow.
You know,
how
like,
very
cool. I never noticed things like that before until you stop and just say, hey, you know, like you were saying, this is something we have to do. Let's not, you know, there's no reason it can't be something fun.
That's right.
You know?
Something fun, something, you change it. You change it. And you know, and as you change it and make it something, then it starts to morph into what you wanted in the first place. Or if it's something that just doesn't serve you at all, then it'll start falling away and what you want will start coming in more and more.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's when you change your perception, you will see that a lot starts to fall away that wasn't serving you, wasn't helping you. And you do start to live the life of what you are wanting and starting to perceive more. And people don't, you know, when we're stuck in our prison, they think I'm nuts. I know that. But if you start making the moves and you start understanding how your mind and your subconscious mind really work, all those old beliefs, you start to understand how to let them go and really become who you want to be. You know, step out. And you don't listen to, are you crazy? Do you really think you can set a new life? Do you really think you can change the belief? You know, you hear that voice right there, which I'm sure one of these listeners out there is saying right now.
Oh, that's
and you have
true.
To
and
say to, yeah, to say,
and you're not
wait
talking
a minute,
about,
I'm going to give this a chance.
Yeah. And you're not talking about that someone needs to change every aspect all at once, right? I mean,
no,
it's
you don't
process.
Have to change
it's
all.
Process.
It's a process. It's an ever-evolving process. You start with the gratitude. You start with taking control of what you can take control of and start in small ways. You start seeing the fun in life, or at least do one thing a day that is special for you. It starts to change your perception. You know, when you're driving in the car, take a look at the sky. Every day that sky is different. It's a gift. So look up at the sky and just say thank you. Just change a little bit of yourself every day to be more grateful, honoring how you feel, and doing something special for yourself, something special for someone else. It's little things like that that will change your perception of the world and you. Little things. And it grows and it grows. Before you know it, you're walking the walk, talking the talk, and it happens. It really, yeah, it is something. It's very cool. But, you know, and getting out of a, and if you are in a crisis, I mean, if you are in like an abusive relationship, getting the people around you that support you and help you get a new perception and help you move away from that is very important. I understand that there are some prisons that are very hard. But let me tell you, there is no prison you can't get yourself out of. There is no prison. It's just, how do you want to do it?
True. So. True. And I can attest to that because, you know, for a long time I was married. And it wasn't good. It just wasn't good. And I always thought, well, everybody thinks that I was smarter than this, that I was smarter. I shouldn't have gotten myself in the situation to begin with. You know? And it wasn't
until
I started and changing, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And you know, I decided, well, yeah, I was smart enough. I knew the signs, but I did it anyway, so what am I going to do about it? And it wasn't until then that I realized that those around me, those who loved me, were actually telling me that they were here for me and that they would support me and that they would help me without me actually telling them anything that was going on.
Right.
And it wasn't, you know, so...
Yeah,
you've
got to open your eyes to it. Sometimes you don't see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know that so many people, when we get ourselves into something, like an abusive relationship, like into a dead-end job or whatever it may be, and we think, how could we be so stupid as to step into that? Everyone, like you said, makes mistakes. But you know what? It's a process that you had to live for whatever reason and to learn from that experience. You know, that experience might help you. If I hadn't gone through what I felt was a prison in my life, where I was totally unhappy, and then when I tried to leave that prison, I mean, what I had to endure to get out of it was pretty bad. I mean, it was very bad in a lot of ways. It was 5.5 years of really bad. But I'll tell you what, I learned lessons all the way through. And I also learned that I'm a lot stronger than I ever thought I was.
Yes.
And I even learned how to transcend crisis to really see what was real, what was smoke. I would never be able to help others.
Oh, that's so true.
I would never be able to help others if I hadn't gone through what I went through. So, look at the experiences that you've had. They've made you who you are. And, you know, if you need to move on from one, well, we're all moving on. It's just, how do you want to move on? And where do you want to be? Where do you want, you know? But don't ever feel like, don't punish yourself. It is an experience that has helped you grow. For whatever reason, it has helped you grow. So,
that's right.
You know
that's something I try to teach my kids too. Is you know, kids' parents nowadays, or I don't know about other parents, but there was a time where I would just get so angry because my kids did something and they broke something and I didn't have the money to repair it or fix it, and it wasn't until I went, you know what, they're kids. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. And so then it wasn't until later that my kids told this to me. She goes, Mom, I know you told me we could tell you anything, and I know that you said you'd probably get mad, but you'd be okay. I said, okay, because what is it? Well, come look. And lo and behold, they had completely busted a door, a brand new door. I mean, busted it. And went,
oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so what were you guys, blah, 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 and we moved on. And it wasn't until then that I realized that I was actually living what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that my kids and the people around me were picking up on.
Yeah, and benefiting from, you know, because as you deal with situations better, it helps them deal a little better. And look at a child actually came to you and said, we know you might get a little upset, but they trusted you enough to come to you. They didn't try to hide it, you know?
Yep, yeah. And so that's
very
always
big.
One. I mean, in that process, Of, like you said, you're the first person, honestly, that I've ever heard mimic my beliefs. People say, well, what do you regret in life? I'm like, nothing.
Nothing?
Well, what do you mean, nothing?
Why do you want to have regret? Yeah.
Exactly. You know, well, don't you regret getting married? I said, why? I said, well, one, it gave me two beautiful children. Two, it made me a stronger woman. Made me independent, self-realization. No. I made mistakes, yes, but no. No regrets.
But I learned from them. They've made me better. I've taken the good from those mistakes and moved forward.
Exactly.
And now I can help
exactly.
others with it. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Taking the good.
You know, we don't grow. If life was so always easy, and I was always sailing my ship on just this plain water all the time. Don't you think that would be a little bit boring? And on top of that, where would the growth be? Where would I be? What challenges would I have to go through to grow into the person I want to be? And there's always a challenge. And but those challenges are really set there. They're not even mistakes. Sometimes there's just a challenge. And when you have to decide how you want to go through that challenge, and that's very important. You do decide how you want to proceed through that challenge. Because how you proceed through that challenge is going to show you how you're going to grow. That's when we learn. We don't learn if everything's easy. We learn when there's a challenge. That's where our growth is. But we have to decide, who do we want to be and what do we want the outcome to be? And that's how we proceed through the challenge. It's a very proactive way of living that, like I said, it's very empowering, and it's true empowerment, not just feel-good empowerment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. And I think
that kind of goes into
what you were saying, you know, start with being grateful. And then, you know, changing, that's how your perception will change. And then that's how you will change seeing what you would think of as being a crisis or something that's really stressful. And because then your brain has already started thinking in a different way, so that once those challenges come, like you were saying, you know, you can choose to either play the victim or say, okay, what needs to be done and how do we need to get it done?
Yeah. I have a client who just today told me something very cool. Can I share that? That might help someone out there, I hope. Okay. Well, now this client, you know, she always had not a very good relationship with her dad. I mean, all through her growing up years. And yet her dad went through an operation, and even though he was supposed to be able to walk, he wasn't. And he seemed to be having an early onset of Alzheimer's. And all of a sudden, she's the only child that is taking care of that father. Now, this is something, because she's had to go back into her childhood. It's been very stressful, and at first, the taking care of a parent can be very daunting, She put her career on hold. She was tired all the time. She was, you know what I mean? So when she talked to me, and I talked about how important it is to take time for yourself, to nourish yourself, to raise your vibration, to, you've got to take care of yourself or you have nothing to give. That's another Maya Angelou quote. Obviously I liked her. But anyway, you have to nourish yourself to be able to give. You can't ask for a shirt from a man who has no shirt. So you have to nourish yourself. And then that will raise you up to a new vibration that then benefits you and the person you're taking care of. And she called me this week trying to do that. And she said, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe it, Elena. She said, when I went for a walk in the park and I just allowed my mind to be quiet and I was just feeling the energy of the nature around me. And she said, all of a sudden I started getting these ideas how I could help my dad. And I started getting ideas about the goodness of life. She said, but before I was so busy and so down all the time, I couldn't think of them. But now I could figure out how to get more help for him and how to do this and how to do that. She says it was miraculous. And all it took was taking a little time to bring back that energy back into herself and getting that vibration up and being grateful. And all of a sudden, doors that were closed are now open. It's really that simple. It's just amazing. And I just got that news today, and it just made me so happy to hear somebody open the doors in their life, you know? So hopefully that helps somebody out there.
I hope so. My question is to you then with taking, you know, because we always hear in pretty much all of my teachings, that has been one of the more prominent things is, you know, taking care of yourself, allowing yourself to have that time to do what you need to do, what you want to do, what pleases you, what makes you happy, whatever that is, you know, going for a walk in the park, going camping by yourself, taking a drive, whatever.
Yes.
The issue that I find myself see, that's the same. Boy, we're on a wavelength tonight because that's the issue that I have with it is when I do those things, I feel very selfish because, you know, I have kids to take care of. I have dinner to make. I have pets to walk. I have this to do. You know, I've got to clean, you know. So what would be your advice to help somebody get over that part of selfish for doing things like that?
Well, I'll tell them to do an experiment. And the experiment is, allow yourself to go the way you are first and feel how drained you are. Feel how your kids are not getting your best benefit, how even the dogs feel like it's a drudgery to walk. Feel, you know what I mean? Feel how you're running on very little energy and how your temper is shorter than usual, or that you're too tired to play the game, or you're too tired for this or that, or your work is just drudgery. Just feel how heavy your energy becomes because you're running on empty. And then try taking a week where every day you're doing a little something just for you to replenish. Maybe it's getting up early and just allowing spirit to talk to you or God to talk to you or universe or whatever you believe, your personal beliefs, or doing your gratitude. Maybe it's, you know, when it's a daunting day, doing something fun like I did, stopping for a drink at a coffee shop. Maybe it's, but doing something to honor and listen to you. When you feel like you're getting into that mood where you're just drained, you say, wait, stop. I need to take a breather. I need to just take some time. And going for a walk in nature. And then see how you come back and see the energy you suddenly have to give. And see the energy you start getting back. See how you're now all of a sudden you are more willing to play the game, how you're more patient with your kids, how you're enjoying the walk with your dog, how you're living life to more of its fullness than just hobbling through on empty. See, it's not selfish. We cannot give what we don't have. So if we're feeling low, we can't give. So it's really not selfish. It's just, how do you want to live life? And what do you want to bring to others? Do you want to bring fullness and living fully in the livingness of it? Or do you want to just hobble through? It's a choice. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. It's not selfish. It's an actual choice.
Right. And you,
people benefit.
I have to say, I agree. Because I have to say, like, my lesson lately has been family expectations. You know, family expects you to build two things. You know, that you really just don't have the energy to go. Yeah. And my lesson of late has been saying, you know, I'm not going. And it's okay not to give a reason why.
Yeah.
Just know it's not, I'm not going. Oh, but no. No, it's because I felt it wasn't a good situation for me to go into. I'm not going, I'm staying.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So obligation.
That's all right.
Too. Yeah.
And
that
was
for me.
My son, that's for you. And it helps you. And it's setting a boundary, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
My son just started football, and I'm thinking, number one, I'm not a big football fan. For all the football fans out there, I'm happy for you, but I am not one. And so he's decided to do football, and all I can think of, I'm going to have to go to every football game. And I'm already thinking, okay, all right. So how are we going to make this fun, and what are we going to do? And we're not. And I've already told him. I said, "Honey, I will go to every home game. I promise. But I am not going away. I am not traveling for this. But I will be there for you when you're at home." And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to come up with some fun ways to be there, because this is not. Even though my son's playing and I love him with all my heart, to sit through a long football game is just torture. I don't care who's playing. So I am going to make this fun. I'm already determined. But yeah, it's just the way it is, you know. And he understands that. He knows I'm not going to go to the go-away games, but he knows he's got all my love and support, and I am here. And he knows how hard for me it is to sit through a game. So, you know, but when I'm there, he'll get everything
way.
I have.
I felt the same way now.
I'm
a big football fan. I love football. I played football.
In
wrestling,
I'm impressed.
You know, in wrestling. I love wrestling. So I'm looking, you know, I've got this
son
who had a wrestling program for elementaries, and I got him in there, and he was really good. I'm like, but he didn't want to. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But lo and behold, he's playing softball. I hate softball. Softball, baseball, like, to me, it's like, what's the point? You know, really?
but it's really funny.
Like what you said. It's making it fun. It's going there instead of going, oh my gosh, I got to sit through this again. I don't know what I'm. I made it a point to kind of learn what's going on, so I at least had an understanding on, you know, what plays were and what the coach was yelling out and.
Yeah.
You know?
And rooting. You know, rooting and having a flag or something.
Well,
you know,
my
and
kids
just
know that
fun.
I am my kids have actually come to talk to me. You're too loud, Mom. You're too loud, Mom. Yeah. I am that obnoxious parent. You know, I can't do anything else, so I'm gonna sit and cheer, that's my thing. And when I put it to them like that, they're like, well, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it's okay, and it's nice to have someone that cheers, you know. But you may, you have fun with it, and you live the livingness of it, you know. And that's what Troward says. When you live the livingness of it, he says, you know, going to a recital, and just feeling that music, going to a football game and feeling that spirit, and getting involved in it. Instead of going in and being the cold, hard critic, quote-unquote, that is judging by the rigid rule, he is not living in the livingness of it. He is not experiencing it. He's not making it fun. He's not feeling it. You know, there's a difference, and it makes all the difference in life. It really does.
I would say that's true. So.
Yeah, it really is.
Don't worry,
and it makes your world better.
Oh, that's true, too. You know, it really does. Because then you also attract that to you as well, you know?
Yes. It is. It all starts inside us. You know what I mean? Everything that happens in our world is created by what is going on inside us. So if you don't like what's going on in your world, you have to change what's going inside you. What is going on inside you that is creating this world? What are you thinking? What are you believing? And if you don't like it, change it. Change it. And it takes time, but you start with that gratitude. You start with making things more fun. Start doing the livingness of it. Looking at it in a different perspective is what we're talking about. And before you know it, the world starts to change. And it is something. It is something to see. And you know, and it's so obvious to us who have done it, but to somebody who's stuck, you know, it is taking baby steps. And it is just trying something newer. But the most important thing is saying, enough is enough. I am going to step out of my comfort zone. I am going to try this. I am going to try having more fun. I am going to try thinking, you know, seeing the clouds and being grateful, or being grateful, going from the best part of my life. It's making that decision. It's a decision. It always starts with a decision. Looking into ways, looking for people to help me, whatever it is, but it's a decision.
And you know, and I find that that decision isn't necessarily something that you make right away in the morning and then forget about it. It's throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, it's throughout your day. Everything that you do for that day, it's not, you know, you can't just set it for the morning and then forget about it. You've got to.
It's a life-changing, no-going-back decision. It's a definite. When I sat on that side of the road, I wasn't just saying to the universe, I want to be happy. I was yelling it. And that is a no going back decision. You feel it in you. It is definite. And that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But you got to get there. You've got to want it that bad.
Yeah.
And when you do it, then you start taking the steps. And the universe knows it. It knows if you mean it. It's like James Allen said, whatever be in your heart will come to pass. And it's true. So you got to mean it, and you got to start walking the walk. And then everything follows. Everything follows.
The thing, too, is don't beat yourself up.
No.
If you're coming home and you're angry and upset.
No.
We have those days.
No. Everybody
does. Those. Yeah.
Everybody does.
And I have found for me is so many light workers out there say you can't wallow in the darkness. You can't think negative. You can't even talk about it. I don't think that's true because you have to acknowledge it. You have to go. You have to go through the emotion, accept it, release it, and then say, okay, now what am I going to do? Am I going to stay here? Or am I going to flip the page and go, what's next?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep. Or I'm going to take the time to just quiet and breathe and accept it and let it go and move on. But you do feel it. Everybody does. I say, you know, what it does is when you go with the right perception, things can still chew and you should register that. And I'll tell you what, though, it doesn't last as long. And it doesn't last so long because Yeah, and you're not. It's not because you're saying, "Oh, I can't be here. I can't do that." That's suppressing it. Instead, it's just that you have a different perception, and you're saying, "Okay, so this happened. All right, not good. I'm not happy about it. But tomorrow, I think I'll do this to go in this angle, or I'll fix it by going this way, or I just have to accept it, let it be, let it go, and move on." You have choices. And you just naturally go to that once you have that perception that you can do that, and you don't.
I found that that's so true. That's so true. I mean,
it's that change.
And it's like, you know, like, it's not. Don't go into it expecting it's an overnight change, because it's not. It's a process.
No,
like
it's a journey. Right.
And you know, but one change, one difference at a time. And you'll start noticing that all these other things come at you are like, whoa, wait, that's okay. You were saying it just builds on each other. It just builds.
Yeah, it does. When you start doing the gratitude and you start doing the little steps just to start, things will start to change. And you do start to feel an immediate change. But it's every step that you learn. You know, I teach these tools. And every tool that you use, I call them tools. It's new awarenesses. But every single one, you know, like when you start taking control of the things you can control, you'll actually see a ripple effect. By your decision, you will actually see it. It's amazing. You can see how what you decided, because you took action in a certain way, how it ripples out into other people's lives, into situations. It's amazing. And that's the first eye-opener of how important your decisions are. And
right.
I just, every tool, it's an eye-opening experience. And it opens up to new. It's just getting curious and trying them. And you just, your world unfolds before you. It really does. And what a beautiful world it is. And in the prison effect, I'll give you those tools. But like I said, if you ever have problems, you contact me and I will help you with them, you know? But
I love
I'll tell
that.
You that they are fabulous tools. And they help you open your eyes. It's really a night and day difference. It's a night and day way of living. I once was dating this guy who said to me all of a sudden, he said a lot of things, but he said one thing, he out of the blue, he just said, "You don't have any fear." I said, "What?" He said, "You don't have any fear." I really had to think about that. I'm not kidding, Regina. I thought about it for the whole night. Because I thought, do I have fear? And I thought,
that's
not
funny
really.
Because I was thinking the same thing in my life. It's like, you know, things I used to be so afraid of, I'm still afraid, but I'm meeting it head on. You know?
I hate to cut it short,
but we've got like a 60 seconds here to go. If you don't mind, would you give some information to our listeners and how they can get a hold of you in case they want to book a session or your book?
Sure. It's, again, you go to my website. It's very easy. And you can contact me there. There's also a form to fill out if you want to talk to me. There's consultations that I give. I give 15-minute free consultations. Or get the book. And that book will also help you. And that's a nice, good way to do it too. But it's Elena, A-L-E-N-A, ChapmanLife.com. A-L-E-N-A. So there you go. And that's how to get hold of me. It's fabulous. There's events
Wonderful.
There. You'll see a bunch of stuff. And there's videos you can watch too. So it's good to go there
good.
And see. Yeah. Thank you so much
awesome.
For having me.
Well, I'm so glad you came back, and I hope, you know, we can have you back again and maybe talk a little bit more next time on the meditations.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I will send you some, and you can tell me if you like them, or call me, and I'll do one on the phone, whatever you prefer. Okay?
All right.
My gift
All right.
To you.
Well, thank you so much, Elena. You have a great night.
You too.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.